Sleeper Wire, the only fantasy football radio show with more than a dozen multi-time, multi-league, multi-year champions. Listen to the Sleeper Wire show every Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Dash Talk.
Welcome to the Sleepwire Show. Today is Tuesday, November 21st, 2017. I am your host, Producer Steve. With me today, we got Professor Chris and Max. They're going to be helping me out on the show. We're going to be covering Week 11 games. See, Thanksgiving is coming up this week. And I personally love this football-centric holiday. A handful of these teams have short turnarounds, though. The fantasy playoffs coming up close. So we're going to jump right into it today. Let's get started with the news and injuries. All right, this week we're just going to cover a couple pieces of news here. The rest of the news we're going to cover during the recap. These two teams obviously were on bye this week. So for the Panthers, Greg Olsen has been designated to return from the IR and will likely play this week, barring any setbacks. He's practiced Monday, so that's a good sign. Guys, I want to go into this real quick because I think a lot of people are excited about Greg Olsen coming back. Cam Newton looked pretty good in the last game. So are you feeling good about the Panthers offense with his return? Are you feeling good about Cam Newton getting back on track and looking good again?
I don't really care about Cam Newton, but I am super excited for Greg Olsen. Literally just mentioned to Chris that I got him in one of my leagues. He's a free agent. So if he's out there, pick him up.
Yeah, I grabbed him off of waiver wire, too, last week. So, yeah, I try to get him if he's out there. I mean, he's definitely a top three tight end when he's on.
So he's a guy, like, even if you have like a Kelce or a Gronk, or like you would start two tight ends if you had Olsen as well, put him in a flex?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
Depending on who you had for other options, I don't see why not, especially this late in the season with injuries.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I see no problem with starting two tight ends. I've got a league where I'm starting Ertz and Rudolph.
Okay, cool. In the Colts news, real quick, Jacoby Brissett still in the concussion protocol. So obviously, Professor Chris, I got to ask you, who's the quarterback behind Brissett?
Right, it is Scott Tolzien who was behind him. Actually, Tolzien was the number two. But, yeah, there's no number three on the depth chart. So it's just Jacoby Brissett, then Scott Tolzien, who was worse than Curtis Painter ever was for the Colts and is just absolutely terrible.
Okay.
Time to call Hasselbeck.
It's tough to start any Colts, but, like, Jack Doyle's been the only guy you can really count on. Are you thinking about maybe not starting him if it's Tolzien, or does he get up value?
I think Doyle would still be fairly okay to play, but T.Y. Hilton, I don't think you're going to want to play him. No other Colts, really, except for maybe Frank Gore, because they know how bad Tolzien is. They're going to want to run the ball.
All right, so Gore and the Colts face this week. They play the Titans. So that's a defense you might look at if you're streaming defense and if Tolzien starts. All right, that's it. Let's get into the game recaps. Let's start with the Thursday night game. The Titans and the Steelers face off. Titans fell with only 17 to the Steelers 40. The Steeler monster has awakened. They looked dominant this week. Roethlisberger had a hell of a game. If you started him on a streamer, good for you. 30 of 45, almost 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, lots of protection, lots of time to throw. Antonio Brown had a game. He got the new helmet catch. What'd you think about that one?
It was great. I mean, AB is super impressive.
Isn't that illegal?
What, helmet catch?
Yeah, I can't recall his name, but the gentleman did it against the Patriots. Isn't there
David Tyree?
David Tyree. Isn't there a rule in the playbook that you can't use your helmet to help assist you catching a ball?
I don't think so.
I believe that's a rule because I believe that was the, like, crying pleas of Patriots fans for a long time. But either way, it was an amazing catch.
It was nice, right?
I think they just changed the rule that the ball can touch the ground as long as it doesn't move.
No, this is like an older rule, like from like when the Giants made that catch, like that rule was there then. It's not a new rule.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that, but I
will say
they wouldn't let this touchdown stand if that was a rule.
I think it's one of those rules that like no one really talks about, you know what I mean? It's one of those like super judgment calls. But I do think that rule where if the ball doesn't move but it hits the ground but there's clear possession, you don't lose possession, I think that's a really good rule.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Guys, I want to ask you about the post-touchdown celebrations for the Steelers. I noticed, at least I think I know who they were, but I think it was Antonio Brown. It looked like Juju and Le'Veon were involved.
They were playing keep away.
But here's the thing I noticed. It didn't look like Martavis Bryant was involved in the celebrations.
He's not long for that team.
He doesn't look like he's part of the club.
Juju's taken over his spot.
Clearly, even in the fun part.
People are going to be mad at you. And Martavis Bryant called out the Steelers, called out Juju. He wants to be the number one, called out the whole team. Basically right. said, I'm Martavis Bryant, I'm better than you.
Isn't it possible that the reason he wasn't in on that celebration is because he wasn't in that play, though? That was the running play to Bell where it was called a touchdown, but they ruled him short, right? Maybe just Bryant wasn't in on the play.
I mean, Brown scored three times and they celebrated, and I don't know. It just didn't look – I don't know. Maybe I'm seeing things, yeah. But I think if you picked up Juju, you're feeling good. Had a decent game. Got you about 8 points in PPR. No touchdown this week, but looked okay. But you got to feel good about this offense going forward. If they can keep up this pressure and this speed, you're going to love these guys in the playoffs. They got a pretty nice set of matchups the next couple weeks. The Packers, the Bengals, the Ravens. I think you might even be able to start the Steelers defense the next couple of weeks pretty comfortably.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Right. The Titans, I don't think they were as bad as the score showed. Game was close into the third quarter. Delanie Walker dropped that touchdown, but he had a good day, 6 for 92. Mariota looked okay, only one touchdown, 4 interceptions, though. I don't know if all those were his fault or if they were just late in the game. But what did you guys think about the Titans' offense? Did you like things that you saw from the Titans going forward?
I mean, I'm still going to most likely play Mariota in some matchups. Delanie Walker, I mean, he would have had a fantastic game. That's probably about the easiest catch you can ever see as a tight end. That he just, just right through his hands. Yeah. But Mariota, I'm still going to play. I'm still most likely going to play Murray most matchups. This was just a horrible game. They're usually pretty okay.
I'm worried about Murray. He didn't look quick at all.
He was tired from all those touchdowns last week.
Yeah, that's a number to your body. But I kind of have a feeling when I look at the Titans that they're kind of a team that has a lot of really good talent that doesn't mesh well together. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Yeah. It's kind of like when DeMarco Murray was on the Eagles, but he didn't fit their scheme. I feel like they have a lot of playmakers who kind of don't work well together. Mariota would be better off on a team like Tampa Bay where they have fast, quick receivers and honestly, running backs who are more suited for the catch and run. Like, I feel like a Theo Riddick or a Chris Thompson would really excel on the Titans, even though Murray and Derrick Henry are doing extremely well. I just feel like you're watching a bunch of elite players that are only doing well because they're so good, but they don't actually mesh well together.
That's an interesting point. They got a pretty nice next 5 games. They face the Colts, the Texans, then the Niners in the fantasy first week of fantasy playoffs for most people, week 15. So
Max, thanks again for Rishard Matthews.
I was going to say, do you feel good about these guys in the next couple of weeks to feel comfortable starting them? Or Max, are you a little hesitant because what you just said? Does the matchup outweigh the team dynamic?
There's only two players on the offense I'm almost always comfortable with. And Chris, Rishard Matthews, I'm glad you love him. I have enough receivers on my team, and it's weird to say that for as good as he is, he was probably my worst receiver. So as much as the trade isn't working out in my favor, it's quite all right. But Rishard Matthews and Delanie Walker are the only two pass catchers on that team that I actually feel comfortable with at all. Eric Decker is a great talent, but I probably wouldn't start him regardless of matchup because as talented as he is, he's not really working well with the scheme. And then with the running backs, it's roll the dice.
Yeah.
It could be a Derrick Henry week, could be a Murray week. You're going to start them either way and just hope. But the only players besides Mariota and the running backs I'd feel comfortable with would be Matthews and Delanie Walker.
Yep.
Chris, same thing, Chris? Feel the same way?
Absolutely.
All right, let's move on to the Jaguars and the Browns. Jaguars 19, Browns 7. The Jaguars are the worst team with 7 wins, I think, this year. But Cleveland actually looked okay in this game. They controlled the line of attack, but they made some dumb mistakes. turnovers and defensive points for Jacksonville. Bortles had 154 touchdown and two fumbles. And Leonard Fournette, this is what I want to talk about, because on the blitz this week, we had a bunch of people panicking. Leonard Fournette, ankle injury, worked through it in pregame, he's going to go. Then people were like, well, if an ankle acts up, they're going to pull him early, and oh, he doesn't like the cold weather. He got 28 carries for 111 yards, so why were people so concerned about this, and did you guys start Leonard Fournette, or did you get scared off?
I didn't even know Leonard Fournette was playing until I saw him on Red Zone Channel.
Well, I think that's the biggest concern with a player like Leonard Fournette is you don't know if he's going to play because the Jaguars kind of know what they have in him, and they're not quick to rush him out there, especially when they have a competent back in Chris Ivory. I mean, Yeldon can get something done in the pass-catching game, but Chris Ivory isn't really a slouch at the running back. So when you have that situation where it's like Fournette's your future, and he's a star, and he's clearly a star, any sign of injury, yeah, you should hesitate as a fantasy owner because you don't know what the team's going to do. And just pay attention when the injury report comes out in the morning.
The Jaguars are probably going to win this division. Do you think they continue to roll Fournette out every week? And if they do, you start him every week? Or you have like any concerns at all about this guy?
If they are in a situation, like say they win the next two games and they're up in their division and they have a comfortable road to the playoffs, I could see them benching Fournette for a little bit or just pulling back on his work.
Really?
I don't think my dog agrees with me, though, if you guys can hear him barking.
He's a Chris Ivory owner, your pup?
I think he is.
Okay. Well, let's talk about D.D. Westbrook, because he was big news this week, came back 3 for 35, made a couple mistakes. Do you guys like what you saw with him? And as long as Hearns is out, is he a guy you'd be maybe comfortable starting the next couple of weeks?
No.
No? Not there?
Nope, not comfortable starting him at all.
Marquise Lee, though, he's the guy.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Any other takeaways from the Jags?
Yeah, they're probably going to win the Super Bowl.
You think so?
No, they're not going to. They're going to get bounced first
round.
Hold
on. This is my logic between them winning the Super Bowl. Every team with a defense as good as theirs, i.e. like the Broncos with Peyton Manning when he wasn't that good, the Seahawks, the Ravens with Flacco, they win the Super Bowl. They could make it. Look at the 49ers when they had Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense was good. It wasn't like great, but their defense was unbelievable. And the Jags' defense is kind of unbelievable. They have so much young talent that's just crazy good. I mean, it's a hot take. It's a long shot.
But it is a hot take straight down a hot station. That was a good one. I mean, their next five, really the only team that I think could really give them a real trouble is the Seahawks. They have 4 out of 5 games coming up that they could conceivably win.
They'll lose to the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they'll lose to the Colts because the Colts are ridiculous.
Yeah, definitely lose to the Colts.
But, all right, I get it. That'd be something, though, man. Max, you might want to check the Vegas odds and put down like $10 on the Jags winning the Super Bowl because I bet you'd win big if that ended up happening. Let's look at the Browns. Kizer took a little step back from last week. Not a great game. 2 interceptions and a fumble. Didn't look accurate. Just 1 touchdown to Duke Johnson. But he was the leading rusher for the team, their quarterback. 5 runs for 22 yards. Isaiah Crowell, 11 carries for 18 yards. The story here was Corey Coleman coming back, 6 for 80 yards on 11 targets.
That's great. Looks like
you got to start him week to week now, I think, right?
Well, Bengals, Chargers, Packers, Ravens, Bears. The only defense that scares me there is the Ravens.
Yeah, I'd agree. He's even against the Ravens, the Jags defense is so much better that this man's going to get peppered with the ball. So. Yeah.
I also probably wouldn't start him at Chicago.
Okay.
Right. Chicago is a weird place because that defense can play to your level.
Yeah, have you been there? It's definitely a weird place. I was just trying to make a Chicago joke.
I don't want to comment on it because the Bears fans kind of scare me. They're an intense crowd.
No. They're tame.
They're tame.
I know it. Yeah, in Indiana, I know a ton of Bears fans. Chicago's 3 hours away from me.
Oh, yeah, you're a Colts fan. Those are the wild ones.
Yeah, we get crazy. You know, we're not as bad as Bills fans, though. It seems like every single week we have something new. Like, check out what happened at Bills tailgate this week.
Yeah. The Bills Mafia, they're a rowdy bunch.
We're going to get into that.
Rowdy bunch.
We're going to get into that mess.
Oh, anyways, I'm not going to say any more about the Bears defense, though. I will say go listen to this week's great debate.
Oh, really? Give us a preview, ooh, Professor.
Shameless plug.
Mine are always shameful. No, so we decided instead of going with Corey Coleman versus Samaje Perine. It feels like that is a little too obvious, and it's one of those, like, you know, both of these guys are great. You should try to get both of them.
Right. Okay.
So we switched from that, and then, you know, we kind of thought about this, and you know what we haven't debated, and we didn't do last year either? Defenses to pick up now for the playoffs, to stash. So we're doing we did the Bears versus the Redskins.
Oh, I like that. Okay, that'll be a good one. All right, yep. So that's it for the Browns. We're going to talk about those defenses coming up. Keep your eyes on the field for Josh Gordon. He could be back week 13. Real exciting stuff. But let's go to the Buccaneers and the Dolphins. Bucks won 30-20. The Dolphins' offense looked lost. Cutler, 3 picks in the opening half. And then Matt Moore came in, and as we expected, Kenny Stills had himself a game. 7 of 8 for 180 and a touchdown. So if Cutler's still in the concussion protocol and Matt Moore starts, it's back to Kenny Stills starting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been a huge proprietor of Cutler this year, and Matt Moore just looks better.
Well, here's the thing. He looked better when he came in the last time Cutler went out, and then he started that next game, and he didn't look good. So
maybe split time. I don't know. See, my issue with Cutler is Cutler can look very good, and he makes throws that are like an elite-level quarterback can only make that throw, and then he goes and throws 2 picks, or like he just doesn't care. And it's kind of weird. I feel like Cutler almost needs to be behind in a game to like kick it on.
Right.
But if Matt Moore is starting, Cutler is out, Stills gets a bump, Parker gets a downgrade.
I'm worried about Parker. Kind of screwed the team a little bit. Looked like he was responsible for a couple of interceptions. Only 4 for 26. I'm concerned about his work ethic on a team that's not doing well right now. You think he's the next
guy
out of town?
I'm concerned about why people have been so high on him anyway.
I think it's just the talent, but I don't know if he's a good fit for that team.
You can have a ton of talent and still not be fantasy relevant.
Yeah, but the thing is he has been fantasy relevant. He hasn't been what we thought he'd be, but he's still decent. I mean, Jarvis Landry's the number one of that team, but Parker is the number two. And he's a decent number two for most teams out there. You're probably running him as a wide receiver 3 or a flex, which is perfectly fine for most teams. With the potential with Parker is he could be much, much more for you. He has the talent to do that. That's why the hype is there.
I can't start potential this late in the season, though. I'm worried about starting him anymore.
I'm not saying drop him. I'm just saying I wouldn't start him. Or if he's your wide receiver 3, well, now he's your flex.
Talk to me real quick about these running backs, Damien Williams and Kenyon Drake. Kind of weird days for both of them. You feeling good about either one of these guys after seeing them in action for 2 games?
I'd still rather have Williams.
See, I'd rather have Williams consistency-wise, but if I need a Hail Mary, Kenyon Drake, he's the explosive back. And I don't know, it's kind of like the Hill versus Geo argument. Who would you rather? Would you rather Hill, who's going to get your consistent yardage and your touchdowns, or you rather Geo, who could make a catch for 78 yards and a touchdown? So it's a tough call, but I'd have to roll with Williams.
All right. Dougie Martin on the Buccaneers side, 38 yards on 19 carries, 13 was his long carry, so not a good day for Doug Martin. And we were kind of split. We were high on him in some cases on the blitz, but a lot of people felt like his time is kind of past, and with Winston likely to miss another week or two, they're going to be dealing with Fitzpatrick still. So are you guys worried about Doug Martin end of season here? Does he become flex or benchable?
I'm worried.
Yeah, I'd say he's probably a RB3 flex right now.
Okay.
I played him over Samaje Perine this week in one league, and I don't think I'm going to do that next week.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I mean, the Redskins use their backs a lot.
Well, right, but Perine now with Chris Thompson being out for the rest
of
the season.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be the focal point. I mean, I consider Martin against the Packers, the Lions, but again, the Falcons can sometimes step it up and stop the run game, so that's kind of a tough call. I'd probably see how the first matchup goes before I decide on the second one. Definitely wouldn't start him against the Panthers. It's tough because the talent's there, but it's just not really working too well.
Yeah, and the tight end situation looks a little different too. Now it's 2 weeks going now with Cameron Brate not being involved very much at all. Well, we thought he'd be, you know, check down guy for Fitzpatrick. O.J. Howard scored the touchdown with 3 receptions, 52 yards this week. So I'm a little worried about Cameron Brate going forward as long as Winston's out. And I'm not sure that I feel comfortable starting when Winston comes back, to be honest.
I still would. Once Winston's back, I'm starting Brate.
Yeah, he's Winston's guy.
Evans and D-Jax looked okay this week as well. Let's see. The Ravens and the Packers, a shutout for the Ravens, 23-0, but their offense looks pretty bad. Flacco was efficient, 22-for-28, 183 to touchdown and an interception. Mike Wallace was the one that scored. Jeremy Maclin had a pretty quiet day. So listen, Max, they gave Alex Collins 20 carries. That's what we asked for, right? 49 yards and a touchdown. Are you satisfied, or did you want more?
I think, honestly, he'll be fine. It's more, it's rough because he didn't, obviously he didn't produce for you. He got a touchdown, which was nice. The work's there. I want to keep that workload the same, 20 carries again. That being said, Green Bay's run-stopping defense kind of stepped it up.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens' offense, they may have beat Green Bay, but the Ravens aren't like a flashy team. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're not Kansas City, who's going to fool you, or Kansas City's not even doing that right now. But I don't know. I feel like it was situational. We've seen Collins has the ability to break off huge runs. The fact that he's getting a lot of work is awesome, and you just hope next week that he's going to break off a huge run. As of right now, he's a low-end RB2 flex, but that's what he's been. He's been that, if not worse. But with the 20 carries, I think it's only going to go up from here as far as production if he continues to see 20 carries.
All right, Woodhead back in the actions, 5 catches for 21 yards, was targeted in the end zone, and looks like Buck Allen just got kind of game-planned out with him back.
Chris, yeah, Woodhead was targeted on like a, was a 39-yard touchdown pass?
Yeah, it was would've a been. Deep shot. Yeah, yeah, it was.
Yeah. Oh, and I do want to say Jeremy Maclin would have had 5 for more yards and a touchdown, but the play he was hitting, it was broken up. So he did get that red zone target that could have been a touchdown.
I was just about to ask you about Maclin because you've been high on him all season, and I wanted to make sure you still feel good about him going forward for the rest of the season here.
Yeah, this would have been a great game if he'd been able to hold on to that one. So he's still getting used.
All right, so you're still starting Maclin. And that defense played outstanding. Hundley, looking decent when he started his drives, but then ended up finishing up with a lot of turnovers. Went 21 for 36 for 239, 3 picks, and a lost fumble. Devontae Adams, we told you last week, seemed to be the safest guy. 8 catches for 126. Jordy Nelson, irrelevant. I really feel bad for Jordy Nelson. Like, I was trying to think of another top-named superstar whose value has hit rock bottom when their quarterback is out.
Current one?
Well, just within, like, the last few years.
I would say Reggie Wayne that year that Peyton was out.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. The story, though, was Jamal Williams had the backfield to himself. What did you guys like? Did you like what you saw out of this guy?
Yeah, he's startable. I mean, you would like to see more yards, but
I think he's Alex Collins range for me right now. Just yeah. Because Hundley's in there, and Hundley's not good.
It was a pretty tough match.
Well, and they were also down the whole game, so they had to throw. I mean, Hundley threw it 36 times.
I expect that to be the normal.
Right, I do too, but
that's what you're going to see.
I do think Williams is going to keep getting 18-plus carries and keep getting the opportunity.
All right, so he's like, what, an RB3 flex for you guys going forward?
I'd put him like maybe fringe RB2 or 3.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Like, what I said about Alex Collins, essentially the same thing.
Ty Montgomery comes back. You still feeling good about Williams, though?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. We'll have to watch this guy. He's got a couple tough games coming up. The Lions and the Bears. Lions 27, Bears 24. Detroit started slow, heated up to win. And let's see. Stafford almost hit that 300-yard mark again. 2 touchdowns. Max, you'll be happy. I saw Stafford yelling at Eric Ebron on the sidelines.
Yeah, because Ebron's garbage.
I think that's what he was saying. He was channeling his inner GM Max.
He should. Like, he should have realized what I've been saying for the last 3 years. Eric Ebron is not a good tight end.
Yeah, yeah. He 4 for 49 is about what you can expect reasonably. That's a good game for Ebron. Marvin Jones got back in the end zone. Good game. Stafford spread it around. Not too much to Golden Tate, though. You guys concerned about Golden Tate's usage in this game or concerned about him going forward?
Yeah, I'm still playing him.
Yeah, I wouldn't sit Golden Tate.
Is there anybody on the Lions that you're like worried about or excited about besides the main guys?
I like Jones.
TJ Jones?
Yeah, I like him. Abdullah, they're still giving him work. The production really isn't that great.
Say TJ Jones or Marvin Jones?
TJ.
Okay.
Just for a young guy, could be on the waiver wire. If anyone gets hurt, he's next up.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets looks, so it's nice.
All right.
But besides that, no.
Okay. For Chicago side, Trubisky had some poor throws in the second half, ran a lot for 53 yards. Tight end Adam Shaheen got the touchdown. Inman, 3 for 43. Jordan Howard had a pretty nice game, had a big 50-yard run. But Tariq Cohen, we talked about him last week. They weren't involving him in the game plan. Got 9 carries for 44 and a touchdown this week. So what changed, and is this a guy, if he's on waivers, you scoop him up right away? They got the 49ers in 2 weeks. They got the Bengals, the Lions again, and the Browns in the fantasy playoffs.
I wouldn't start him against the Browns, and I wouldn't start him against the 49ers. I feel like he's definitely, when they're down, they're going to use him. But when they're up, they don't really need him that much. He might spell a little bit.
Okay.
He's like a Chris Thompson to me, which Chris Thompson's had a phenomenal year, and I feel like that's because they're always down.
Right.
But he's a situational back. He's a very good situational back, but a situational back nonetheless.
But yes, I still don't. I'm still not picking up Tariq Cohen. I dropped him weeks ago, yeah. And never haven't had any second thoughts.
Yeah. No old feelings come back yet, so that's good. That's good. Any other guys on the Bears you guys want to talk about, waivers or worried about? It's pretty much what you get, I think, right?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
All right. The Rams and the Vikings. A lot of people were looking forward to this game because they thought, oh, good defense versus a high-scoring offense. But the Vikings, man, they locked them down. Keenum had a decent day. 280 yards and a touchdown. Looked sharp. Thielen, obviously, great player. 123 and a touch. Stephon Diggs, quiet day. Rudolph, decent. Okay, running backs, though. Latavius Murray, has he officially taken over that job? He split carries almost evenly with McKinnon, but he had two touchdowns.
I told you he was the better running back.
Well, they split work.
They split work, but McKinnon, I didn't say he's bad. He's a good running back. If you want a pure running back, Latavius Murray's better. If you want a pass-catching back, it's McKinnon, so I feel like it dictates more. It's if you're in a PPR or not.
Yeah, because
McKinnon had 5 catches. Yeah, in a PPR, I would still rather have McKinnon.
Yeah, okay. In a PPR, I'd rather have McKinnon for the catches. But Latavius Murray's putting in work. He's healthy, and it shows.
You got to like that. You got to like that. That defense looked really good, too. I don't think anyone's questioning that defense at all. You're starting them all the way through. Concerns about anybody on the Vikings, Stephon Diggs? You think he's still nursing that injury, or is it just an off game for him?
I think it's an off game, and I think Thielen is now the favorite target.
He's number one, obviously.
Yeah, right? he's the number one, which people aren't really used to seeing because it's been Stephon Diggs' show for so long.
Right.
But as long as Case Keenum starts, Thielen's the number one, and people need to keep that in mind when starting Stephon Diggs.
You feeling good about Keenum? Like, if you're streaming quarterbacks all year, feeling good about him late in the season here? He's looking good.
I'm rolling with him.
Todd Gurley had a decent game for fantasy owners. Not a lot of stats, but he got you the touchdown. Sammy Watkins, 3 for 36. Cooper Kupp had a couple of drops. And Robert Woods was definitely worth the start, 8 for 81. Just got a little breaking news here. Robert Woods with a shoulder injury we talked about briefly in the Rams will be out a couple of weeks, Sean McVay says.
So, Sammy Watkins, Cooper Kupp, and look at Farrow Cooper.
Okay.
Yep. Sammy Watkins for sure, though, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Farrow Cooper will probably take the number two role behind Sammy. Was Sammy the number one or number two in the lineup? I can't recall.
He was the number one.
Yeah, so Farrow Cooper will be the number two, and I believe Cooper will stay in his original spot. So if you need a, like, prey kind of player, Cooper is who I'd look at.
Okay. Any concerns about this Rams offense? What happened here? Why did they only score 7 points after being so dominant the past couple of weeks?
The Vikings punched them in the mouth early, and I don't think the Rams have really been punched in the mouth this year. So they're all young. It's growing pains. It's kind of weird saying the Rams have been so dominant this year that a team really hasn't come out and just beat them up quick.
Right.
But that's exactly what the Vikings did. They came out, they established themselves, and I feel like the Rams were kind of reeling the whole game and couldn't quite get it together. But going forward, Saints, Cards, Eagles. I mean, Eagles would be a tough game against the Rams, but I'd be fine rolling them out.
What would you have thought if someone had told you at the beginning of the year that at this point the Rams and the Vikings were going to win their divisions?
I would have thought you lived in one of those two cities.
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, You're a homer for one of those teams. That's it.
if you asked me this question before the Seahawks lost three of their starting O-linemen, and Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman, I'd be like, you're crazy.
Before the start of the season.
Yeah, I would definitely say you're crazy for the Rams. I would say, oh, they'll be number two in their division because their division's kind of bad. But, yeah, it's not even the fact that both these teams are number one. Both of these teams are dominant.
Yeah, they're not squeaking out victories.
Yeah, like they're putting in work. And it's really cool to see, you know, Keenum's kind of revitalizing his entire career. Latavius Murray's definitely earned himself a contract somewhere else. Watkins, Woods revitalized both of their careers. Todd Gurley's a beast. still is. Jared Goff kind of showing that Fisher left the Rams with a little present right there. I don't know. It's cool to see. It's cool to watch.
Max, I want to touch on something you said about getting punched in the mouth early. The Saints next week could very easily do the same thing to the Rams.
Yes, but the Saints' defense isn't nearly as strong as the Vikings.
Okay, so no concern over their skill players. You're still starting Woods, Kupp. I mean, obviously Gurley's a must-start this year, but you're good with all those guys still? I mean, in PPR this week, they did okay for you, even though they didn't score a lot of touchdowns. You still got 12
they
for Kupp.
They did fine.
Still got 16 for Woods in a PPR, so...
Well, what I see this week is... Like Todd Gurley, obviously had a rough week, still scored. Woods did fine. Cooper Kupp had some uncharacteristic drops, which is kind of what you expect. And Watkins has kind of been a fringe player all season. But the fact that they got beat up so bad and they still put up decent numbers, and Goff, you know, 23 for of 37 for 225 actually isn't a bad game if you sprinkle in a touchdown or two.
Yeah.
Against the Saints, whose defense is not nearly on the level of the Vikings, I think they'll be fine.
All right. Chris, you feel the same way? Good with all your Rams players?
Yeah, nothing really to add.
All right, cool. Cardinals 21, Texans 31. So let's talk about the Texans. Hopkins got his 76 yards and a touchdown, almost got a second touchdown. Bruce Ellington was the guy that people were talking about with Fuller out, 6 for 63. Lamar Miller has the job to himself now because Dante Foreman is out for the season with a torn Achilles. But the Texans' upcoming schedule includes at the Ravens, at the Titans, then 49ers at the Jags and Steelers. Four out of those five, I think they're going to lose. Do you agree?
Probably going to lose. Well, I don't know. I think they could beat the Ravens and the Titans. But Jags and Steelers, that's going to be tough. But I'm still starting Hopkins and Lamar Miller, especially now, every week.
Well, I think Ravens, Titans, Niners, they're going to win. Wow. Jags and Steelers will be difficult. But we have seen the Steelers implode all of the time. The Jags offense is terrible. So, you know, the Texans could pull it out. They could actually win all of these games. It really depends on if Blake Bortles shows up and if Big Ben decides that he doesn't want to retire like he announces every single week. But that being said, yeah, I mean, Savage looked okay for being Savage.
I was going to say, he had a very Brian Hoyer-esque type of game, didn't he? That's what he reminded me of.
Yeah, he did. It was like, you're almost good. Like, I almost think you could be a starting quarterback
225,
somewhere.
Couple touchdowns, interception. Yeah, it's a Brian Hoyer game.
I won a championship last year, two quarterback league, where I had to start, due to injuries, Matt Moore and Tom Savage, and I won the championship.
I mean, that's what
I had to start
saying.
Them in weeks 15 and 16, and I won.
That's why I was saying it. Like, listeners, these aren't flashy names. You don't think the Texans, they've had so many injuries now that you don't even put them in the conversation. But these guys, these quarterbacks, they can do it in numbers-wise, in fantasy-wise. They're not great, you know, to watch. But another guy that maybe you're looking at as a streamer, Blaine Gabbert with three scores this week, 257 in yardage, a couple of interceptions. But Larry Fitzgerald is a safe start, even with any old quarterback back there. Let's talk about Ricky Seals-Jones, two touchdowns and 54 yards, tight end. Worth a waiver ad?
No, this is Mercedes Lewis.
It's a Mercedes Lewis game? Okay.
Yeah, it's... I mean, honestly, though, he could be. You have to look at next week and see what they do. It's very strange.
I don't think he's going to do anything against the Jags or the Rams. Especially, I mean, Jermaine Gresham. I don't even know why we're spending so much time on this. Jermaine Gresham's still the guy. This was a fluke.
All right. Well, they are starting Gabbert again next week. The John Brown also diagnosed with turf toe. But Adrian Peterson, I'm concerned about him. He had that one great game when he got there, and he's just kind of fizzled out. Is just no more. I don't want to start him anymore.
A crap game, a phenomenal game, and two crap games. Yeah. However, didn't the Cardinals, they just released Andre Ellington
today?
They
did. They did just release Andre Ellington.
Hmm.
But it's not like Andre Ellington was cutting into his workload a lot.
I mean, he was in there on the receiving plays.
I'm really worried about starting Adrian Peterson the rest of the season, though.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Okay.
He's someone you own, but you don't start.
I mean, week 16 against the Giants won't be awful.
Because last week and the previous week, you guys like, you got to start him. He's getting the volume. He's getting so much work, you got to start him. It just hasn't done anything for me.
Yeah, but the
You
the
should
issue,
stop listening to us.
Yeah, right? The issue is, with the volume, the O-line's kind of falling apart around him.
Yeah.
So he's not getting... he's doing exactly what we want him to do as far as getting the work, running hard. It's the other pieces around him aren't connecting, and until we see something different, stay away.
All right.
Now, I do think he's still an okay play against the Jaguars, so I think the passing game is going to get shut down.
Okay. But you're saying end like fantasy championship?
But I'm not going to say he's a must start by any means.
All right. Yeah. All right. So maybe I'll hang on to him for week 16 against the Giants. Speaking of the Giants, what a fun game to watch. The Giants 12 over the Chiefs. Jesus. I am really concerned about the KC offense, Max. That O-line didn't look good. They weren't playing well. Alex Smith looked like he was back in 2016. Kareem Hunt hit the rookie wall. People were saying it. They were worried about him. People were trading him away after a couple bad games. We
hit
kept
the
saying,
rookie wall.
We kept
the,
saying
the play
hold him.
Calling was garbage. How many wide receiver screens do you need to run?
Okay, talk
he
to
still
me.
Had 73 yards too. That's still a good game.
He still had a decent game, and not to mention, I feel like Andy Reid just lost his damn mind. Why are you running trick plays against the Giants?
I don't know.
Just
dude.
run a normal football like scheme. Run it, or you could run a wing T. You could
weird.
Run a Pop Warner offense and beat the hell out of the Giants. And he's like, "Oh, we should do a wide receiver screen. Hey, we got 4 yards. Let's run that same play 5 more times. Sound good?" Like it's bad coaching.
Is that what it was? Because I was concerned.
It was bad coaching. That's okay. All it was.
Well, this game was also one of the super windy games of the week. Which is weird because the only thing that was scored was field goals. But
yeah, did you also notice how in like the fourth quarter at least, they didn't even like look at Hunt?
Yeah, I don't know. There's really no way to – I don't think we can really accurately explain what happened to this game. Just a crap game for both sides all around. I mean
– the players did their job. Alex Smith did the best he could in bad wind, which I understand that. But this was just horrible coaching.
Okay. Yeah, Hunt, Kelsey, and Hill, you still weren't mad that you started them.
No,
yeah,
not at all.
They did fine.
Now, I was mad that I started Alex Smith because he lost me a week.
Hmm. Charkandrick West got involved. 4 carries, 4 catches. Waiver wire?
Nope. 4 carries, 4 catches.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. I know we recommended Darkwell on the blitz a lot. He had a pretty good game for the Giants. Manning, not that great, but at least he didn't turn the ball over. Roger Lewis, Tavares King, about the same stat line. Shepard was out sick. Surprised that Ingram didn't get a lot of work this game? Only one reception?
Yeah, total surprise. I will say that Darkwood does seem like he's safe to – like he has a safe floor of about 20 carries and about 70 yards every game.
Right, yeah. It's looking that way. Any of these other wide receivers you looking at all?
Not a chance.
Okay. Not really. Hey, Chris, I have a question for you.
Yo.
Darkwa or Adrian Peterson going forward?
Darkwa.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to go with the consistency right now. I got to know with what I feel like is a good floor. Redskins, Raiders, Cowboys, Eagles will be tough, but Cardinals, that's a fairly good schedule.
Yeah, it is. It's just the Raiders, even though they frustrated me, they're a team that can go off whenever they want. Same with the Redskins, same with the Cowboys. And I feel like with the Giants especially, the second they get pummeled, that run game is non-existent. So this, I feel like Darkwa versus AP would be a great debate you guys should consider.
Yeah, but on the great debate, we generally just, like, they're over who to pick up on the waiver wire.
Go rogue. One week. Be a man.
Go rogue.
But this would be the only people who would listen to that are the ones who have both Peterson and Darkwa.
That's true.
Or people like me who have Peterson and Darkwa's on the waiver wire like he is in every league.
No,
is he?
No, he is not on the waiver wire in every league. Not even close.
All right, time for some Google foo. I'm finding out his ownership right
now. Look that up. I'm guessing.
I'm pretty sure it's like 76%.
I think it's higher than that. I think it's 83, 85.
It is 71%.
Wow. Okay.
On Yahoo?
On Yahoo, yeah.
That's surprising. Surprisingly low. Because like you said, Chris, he has been consistent. He's been worth the start the past couple weeks.
Right.
And Adrian Peterson's 95%. Yeah, that's
but right. That's why we can't do a great debate over those guys.
Yeah, that should be a lot closer though. Mm. As far as ownership,
I agree. I would play if I had to make a rest of season call right now. It would be Darkwa over AP.
I agree.
All right, there you go, folks. Dilly. There you go. The let's stay in the division. The Redskins, they lost to the Saints. What a game! I'm worried that the Redskins season's over. They're 4-6. Even if they win out, they're not guaranteed a playoff spot. Is this the time of year where they might just shut down Jordan Reed? Just say you know what, this guy's not coming back week to week. Just let him heal. Do something with
they
him.
They have Jordan Reed. They have Vernon Davis. There's no point.
Cousins look good this game. I think he looked pretty good this game. I think he's a franchise quarterback. I don't know if it's in Washington, but it looks like they finally got their wide receiver core figured out this week at least. They had Doxon, Davis, and Crowder all had good weeks. Crowder's working that middle of the field again, looking good. They lost Thompson for the year with the broken fibula. So with that playoff situation being what it is, does Cousin lose any value at this point, or is he going to keep proving himself to get that contract or that franchise tag?
He's still on a franchise tag. He can't stop proving himself.
Well, he's got to get one for next year or get a new contract.
Well, see, the issue is the Redskins won't commit to him, so he either has to get another franchise tag, which I believe this will be his third or fourth, in a team like, you know, possibly the Bengals with Andy Dalton not looking good, possibly the Cardinals, maybe the Bills or Jets. He still has to perform if he wants that big contract with one of those teams that needs a quarterback.
All right, so feel good starting him still for the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah, you definitely have to. They've already given him, as you know, Max was talking about the franchise tag, they've already given him that 20% raise once.
Right.
And they'll have to do it again. That's what happens when you franchise a player. You take the average of the top five at that position, their average salary, and then that's what you get. And then it goes up by 20%. Why wouldn't he want to get that again? Because I guarantee what he would get on a franchise tag one more time would be more than what he'd be getting with a contract.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because a 44% increase on what he had last season.
He already said, this going into this offseason, I'd be happy if they franchise tagged me for the rest of my career.
Yeah,
no, it's like, of course you would be, because you'd be making so much money. But that's the issue with the Redskins, because they're so noncommittal to every position, short of their wide receivers, and even that. I mean, look at their running backs. They switch them out like they're nothing. The Redskins, as an organization, their GM cannot decide who he wants at any given position, which is going to be the downfall of that organization. And as we can kind of see it unfold, it is the downfall of that organization. They need to commit either to him or to a rookie. Either get rid of him or keep him, because you're just blowing money at this point. Pick a running back. Stick with your running back unless an injury happens.
Well,
it's just this team's stupid.
That's where they are now. They don't have any more running backs. It's Samaje Perine, and that's it. Chris Thompson's out. Kelly's out. So obviously if the dude's on waivers, you pick him up just based on opportunity alone. But Chris, you said you started him or you didn't start him in a league?
I started him in one, but there were a couple that I didn't start him in that I would have had a better shot at winning had I done that, on tonight.
Did you guys like what you saw out of him? Because he was kind of like, sort of not great, but obviously the stat line looks good. Did you like what you saw on the field?
He was efficient. I think that's what they need. That's all they want out of him.
Yeah, the stat line, the amount of carries that he got, having the job completely to himself. Yeah, I'm loving this.
All right, with the upcoming schedules, Giants, Cowboys, Chargers, Cards, Broncos, Josh Doxon worth an add if he's on waivers. He's been kind of on and off a lot of teams because he looked good and then he doesn't do anything, but he had a good week. So you chasing after him this week with waiver?
I'm not going to spend a waiver wire priority on him, but if he's there maybe on Thursday, I might try to pick him up.
Okay. Drew Brees and the comeback. Was this heroic Drew Brees or was this the lethargic Washington defense? What happened here?
Country and rock and roll. Drew Brees is amazing. And, I mean, he kind of is amazing. Their offense is great. And Washington was gassed. They were just tired. I don't think they put up this much of a fight this season.
No, I think the Saints offense is just really, really good. And Drew Brees is great in crunch time. You know, the defense, Washington defense did, you know, just sort of fall apart there at the end, but this was Brees being Brees. He was making a whole lot of good plays.
I think what this shows, too, is that, well, what we saw last week, we saw the run game dominate. We saw the run game kind of dominate this game as well. Ingram had a huge day. Kamara had also 42 yards on the ground. But we saw that even with that strong run game, when these guys need to turn on the passing game, it's there as well. Michael Thomas has been surprisingly consistent the past couple of weeks for being on a Saints offense. You got Fleener involved, Ted Ginn Jr. back in a PPR league. Got you, what, 12, 14 points? So
14.6, yep.
I mean, this is a piece of an offense you want to have. I think if Ginn Jr., definitely I'm picking up on waivers if I can. Fleener is right on the edge for me. I'm not 100% feeling great about picking him up. What do you guys think about Fleener?
Let me put it this way, if
I have Charles Clay, if I picked up Charles Clay and Fleener's out there, do I make the switch?
Clay.
You'd rather have Clay?
Is Tyrod Taylor going to start?
I don't know.
I think so.
Because that would be the question I had. Because if Tyrod Taylor is going to start, I want Clay.
Okay.
If the Bills are still dumb, Fleener.
Okay.
Is there a going back to talking about Kamara, is there a guy who gets only 8 to 10 carries who you feel safer about playing? I mean, this guy is just good every week.
Yeah. Not a single person. But he gets 8 to 10 carries, but he catches. He's just so – he's
the most efficient player.
Yeah. He's so efficient. That's exactly the word I was looking for. He's so efficient. And it's almost like – people are going to like leave bad reviews for me saying this, call me dumb, whatever. It's almost like watching LT play.
I agree. He looks – effortless, like he's trying.
Exactly, he bobbled the ball, catches it, shrugs off a tackle, touchdown. And you're like, nice.
Yeah.
Who can keep that kind of concentration? Like, as soon as you finally get possession of that ball, your shoulders immediately drop, so you can dip under a tackle and get the touchdown. He reminds me of LT.
He makes it look like the defense isn't even trying to tackle him.
Exactly, it's awesome.
It's crazy how good, like this, how easy. It's like butter.
I'm not a Saints fan, and I'm considering buying his jersey. That's how much I enjoy watching him play.
This awesome. Dude is a lot of fun to watch. And he's doing it every week on limited touches.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't knock Ingram. Ingram's putting work in. So
right.
They have Drew Brees and Peyton are blessed right now by having amazing young talent, and the veterans they have are still good. Like Ted Ginn, still putting in work. Ingram, still looking great. Then you got Michael Thomas and Kamara. Like, that team is so well-oiled. If their defense can just step it up, I could see a Super Bowl run.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not this year, maybe next year, but they have the pieces there.
Oh, they can definitely get to the playoffs. I mean, they can easily win half, if not four out of their five next games, I think. No problem. They might have a little trouble with the Panthers, but...
Sorry, this is Kamara's fourth straight week inside the top 10.
Dude, he outscored. I have a team with him in my flex. I got Bell and Gurley somehow. Guys don't know how to draft in this league. And I got Kamara in the flex. He carried my team this week. I'm so happy to have that guy.
It's the only running back in the league right now that reminds me of Kamara as far as running goes is Kareem Hunt. Because I feel like they have a very similar style where they can both do the same thing. Le'Veon Bell, I don't compare him to them because Le'Veon Bell is such a patient running back and they're really not. This is what good coaching gets you. This is what good play calling gets you. It gets you limited touches with great results. Andy Reid should be taking a long look at the Saints and checking out their playbook.
It's stroking his mustache thoughtfully as he looks at the Saints on tape. I like that idea. I like that image. Let's look at, like, real quick, just next year when you're drafting Kamara, what round are you guys looking at him?
Third round at the latest.
Boom.
Okay, cool. All right, the Bills. We wanted to talk about the Bills. They lost to the Chargers, 24-54. So I have a feeling that this was a front office conspiracy to start this Peterman cat. I think that they said, hey now, we're actually playing well, but we want a good draft pick. So coach, go out and tell everybody that you're doing the thing that is best for the team. You want the team to win, so you're starting Peterman. Dude throws 5 interceptions before he gets pulled. So, do you guys buy this theory at all? You think it was like a soft false flag kind of thing, like an Alex Jones kind of thing? Put this guy
it's
in so we stop winning?
It's not even an Alex Jones thing or a theory. It's they got rid of their best defensive players this year. Like, they're trying to be a bad team, but Tyrod Taylor and LeSean McCoy and Charles Clay do not want them to be. And honestly, what they did to Peterman was messed up. You do not leave a rookie quarterback getting beat up in there for that long.
Confidence.
That was not fair to him.
Confidence alone has to take a hit.
Yeah, that's not fair. Because not only is his confidence ruined, but the potential of him going to any other team in the NFL, once you're done abusing the kid, is gone. Because they look at his one game, his 3 quarters or 2 quarters, whatever he played, 6 of 14 for 66 yards with 5 interceptions against a relatively lackluster Chargers defense. And that's not fair. That's not what you do to prove a point, whether it was punishing Tyrod for having a bad week, when everyone knows Tyrod's a perfectly good quarterback, or the Bills just wanting a better draft pick. What they did was potentially ruin someone's career, and it's kind of disgusting.
I think they should have let him in because he was well on his way to have a record-setting day for most interceptions thrown.
He almost threw more interceptions than he had completions.
It's kind of crappy that they took him out right when he was about to break a record.
That's fucked up. That's horrible. He was such a troll, Professor.
Good guy, bad guy. Here we go.
Yeah, all right. So what do you think is going to happen next week? They're playing at Arrowhead, the Chiefs. Then they got the Pats, the Colts, the Dolphins, and the Pats. So I see three pretty tough matchups for this team. You see Peterman on the field anymore this year?
I mean, I Peterman, Rex Grossman, whoever. They don't want to win. So if Tyrod gets in the field, they're going to do their best to win.
Well, Tyrod will, but the team management, I don't think, feels the same way.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
this is my concern, guys. You just said it, Max. Like, there's three players that want something different than what the management wants. And this is my concern about the team. I don't know, fantasy-wise, if I want to have any shares in this team where there's that kind of fight going on behind the scenes.
Well, see, that's the issue, though. It's if you have Tyrod and they announce that he's going to start, you start Tyrod. LeSean McCoy, you start every week and just hope, because LeSean McCoy can kind of transcend Charles. You hope that he's the checkdown. And if Tyrod's in, he's good to go. That the issue with the Bills is they re-signed McCoy, they signed Charles. Tyrod took a very team-friendly contract to stay because, from what I believe and what I read and heard, he thought they were going to rebuild. And I believe he thought they were going to rebuild around him. That's not their plans. They want to rebuild, but they do not want Tyrod Taylor as Q, and they want to draft one. And it's not fair to the fans. It's not fair to the players, especially when you have a quarterback in Tyrod Taylor who's willing to take a pay cut to make your team better. And he's a good quarterback. It's crazy. Maybe they want Kirk Cousins. I don't know. But I don't know what they're doing. So it's – sorry, guys, to say – wait until they announce who the starter is going to be, then make your decisions. If it's LeSean McCoy, start him every week. Charles, wouldn't start him if Tyrod's out. And then Tyrod, obviously, if he's not in, don't start him.
Damn. I don't have that kind of confidence. I'm really worried about starting Clay. I'm obviously worried about starting Benjamin, but apparently he's okay. They're still doing some tests, but he didn't have any serious damage to his knee. Zay Jones was the guy. I mean, he got you 10 points in PPR. But I don't feel good about starting any of these guys. I think I have to with McCoy. He's the only one I'm 100% I have to start him just because I have to start him. Professor Chris, you agree at all with what Max said, or you on the same page?
No, I agree with what you said. McCoy's the only guy I'd consider playing.
Yeah, it's hard to trust any of these guys with all this stuff going in the background. Let's talk about the Los Angeles Chargers. Phillip Rivers, 2 touchdowns, 251, 20 out of 32. A very Brian Hoyer type of game. Keenan Allen, wow, what a game for him. Got to be excited. If you started him, I sat him. I feel like a fool. I think this is the point of the season where you got to just start the guys that are better. Don't worry about matchups, especially when it comes to Keenan Allen. What was I thinking? Why did I do this?
This is why I play Keenan Allen every week, no matter what.
Exactly. I'm going against Antonio Brown, and Keenan Allen is the only thing that kept me relevant in this week's fantasy.
Dude, same thing.
I wish they didn't sit him in the fourth. He could have got more points. They were so crazily dominant.
I'm in a sleeper bot league with the guy who said, "I'm sorry, Professor," because he had AB. And I won because of Keenan Allen and Dak Prescott getting him negative points. I won by less than two.
It was one
so if
he
just not played Prescott, I would have won. Or he would have won.
All right. They got the Cowboys, the Browns, the Redskins, the Chiefs, the Jets. Start Keenan Allen the rest of the way out. Start Melvin Gordon the rest of the way out. Eckler had 6 carries and 2 catches, total of 58 yards and a touchdown. This guy, if he's not on your waivers, you got to pick him up. Is he worth the start, though?
No.
Nope, I don't think so either.
Not even I think what you saw was garbage time and a Bills defense that was so beat up and disheartened.
All right, short week at Dallas with the way Dallas looks. If they can't get their offensive line fixed and Dak has another Dak like he did this week, you wouldn't flex Eckler?
I mean, you're banking on a team that kind of is good having another bad week.
The garbage Cowboys time might are a be good there. Team. They so are? They didn't sure look like it this week.
Well, the Eagles are a very good defense, and the O-line didn't play that well. One of the Cowboys O-linemen was out, but they expect him back Thursday.
That was the problem the last 2 weeks. That's why he got sacked so many times against the Falcons. It's Tyron Smith. It's like if they don't have him, they don't look good protecting Dak at all.
He's back on Thursday, so.
Bengals and the Broncos, 20-17. Bengals won. Andy Dalton, very efficient for only 25 minutes of possession. He had good accuracy downfield, 3 touchdowns. If you started Dalton, you can't be happy about the yards, but the touchdowns looked good. Again, the the Bengals are touchdown dependent. A.J. Green, 50 yards and a touchdown. Croft had a touchdown, which saved his day. Joe Mixon, I think, was the story. 20 carries, full workload finally, only 49 yards. Doesn't look good for the blocking. What the heck am I supposed to do with these Bengals players?
Start A.J. Green and Tyler Croft. That's it.
That's it. Not even a prayer on Mixon?
You can start him, but it's... I wouldn't.
The defensive...
The Browns' defense kind of stepped up against...
That's what I'm saying.
The Jags, which is weird.
Well, the Browns also have a good run defense regardless.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you got the Browns, Steelers, Bears, Vikings. The Lions would be your only week that, like, the defense isn't that good. But sometimes the Lions' defense steps up, too. I probably wouldn't start him the rest of the season.
All right.
I'd just kind of see how it goes. And the only way Dalton's going to do well is if he only has the ball for 25 minutes a game.
I think Mixon's going to be flexible for you. The workload's still there. Tyler Croft is a guy I'm not as excited about as Max is. I wouldn't play him unless it was absolute necessity. Actually, last week I started Garrett Celek over him.
Well, Tyler Croft to me is a touchdown-dependent tight end, but most are anyways. But when they are in the red zone, he does get a lot of looks, usually. And I like that. They had some decently long touchdowns this week, but when they play the red zone game, Croft is usually the first look.
All right.
Yeah, they just don't get to the red zone very often.
Yeah, that's the problem. And the Broncos were pretty have been known to be weak against the tight end. So I think it's why we recommended Croft this week against the Broncos for a flyer or a fill in, a bye week fill in if you had somebody on bye. But Chris, you say you're not quite as confident in him coming up. Okay. All right. The Broncos on the other side, they have fired their offensive coordinator Mike McCoy. So hopefully their offense gets
better. That's ridiculous.
Better. I don't know. Why is that
ridiculous? They need to fire their quarterback. Trevor Siemian should be their quarterback. The kid had like two bad games this season.
Well, he's
not. Why are you going back to Brock Osweiler? He's great. So bad that a team was willing to pay most of his contract to trade him away. They're like, oh, you're good. Willing to take Osweiler? All right, we'll give you our second-round pick for your first, and we'll pay most of his salary. Oh, here's our third-round pick, too. Like, he's terrible.
This is my concern, Max, because you told me 2 weeks ago Sanders and Thomas are going to be okay, even with Osweiler throwing. 8 targets for Sanders. I started him. 2 for 16. Yeah. Not a good week. Why'd you tell me that?
He was targeted a bunch.
Yep.
Bengals have a decent defense. Thomas was fine. But the targets still look good for Sanders. I'd still roll him out next week. You got to think, if he converts 4 more catches, he's 6 for maybe 50. Not a bad PPR week.
That was the Emmanuel Sanders train we heard going through the background.
Chugga-chugga-choo-choo, guys. Remember, really look at the layout of your property before you buy a house.
As Max said, Demaryius Thomas did have a solid game. This was his third straight week with a touchdown, which is good to see.
Yeah, definitely.
Like what do you think about Sanders? Do you agree that if he makes 8 targets, only caught 2. If he catches 4 more, which he normally would, decent week in PPR.
Yeah, but I don't have Sanders in any of my 12 leagues, and I'm kind of happy about that.
He's a wide receiver 3 for you with Ozzie in. If Siemian gets back in, which he should, he'll be a wide receiver 2. That being said, the targets are there. They look nice. Sanders is a very good wide receiver. Bad week.
Professor Chris, the running back situation looks like a split between Booker and Anderson. Each got about equal work. Booker was a little more involved in the passing game. Is he a guy that's on your waivers? You picking him up, hoping that maybe they use him more in the new game plan with the new OC?
Yeah, he was also a candidate for the great debate this week. I do think Booker does need to get picked up.
Okay.
I'm not, it's still going to be hard to trust him in the starting lineup, but I do think he deserves to be owned.
I picked him up weeks and weeks ago with the idea that he could become valuable later in the season, and I had to drop him for somebody else I needed to, fill in a bye week. But I like their upcoming schedule. Raiders, Dolphins, Jets, Colts, and Redskins. You might get some value out of that running back game towards the end of the season here. There's a couple teams in there that can definitely be run on, especially the Raiders. Boy, they got shredded by Deion Lewis this week. So if Devontae Booker can do some stuff, it'd be a nice little play.
I'm sorry, Steve, cutting you off.
No, it's fine.
So apparently, the rumor has it Paxton Lynch is going to start out rest of the season, but Vance Joseph said Trevor Siemian is looking to get the nod, but he wants to discuss it with Bill Musgrove first, their new offensive coordinator. But people are saying Paxton Lynch will get the start because he's the quarterback of the future, but Trevor Siemian is getting – it looks like they're working away from Oz.
All right, let's talk about the Patriots and Raiders in Mexico City. Deion Lewis, 10 carries for 80 yards, 4-for-4 in the pass game, and a touchdown, 28 yards. Burkhead got the fumble, and we all know what that means in a Bill Belichick system. It means you're going to be sitting on the bench for a while. So
he's not playing next week.
You know, I don't think so. He's definitely taking a break. James White seemed to be an afterthought. So with Gillislee completely, I don't even know if the dude still exists. They might have buried him in the desert out there in Mexico. It looks like Deion Lewis, at least for the foreseeable future. Agree?
He's the safest guy.
I agree.
All right. Brady had a hell of a game. Cooks had a good game. Amendola had a good game. Gronk okay. You guys have been seeing the Pats defense is beatable. They only gave up 8 points. You still feel good about the Pats defense being beatable?
I do.
Really? All right.
I think the Raiders just played awful.
The Raiders did play awful. Their wide receivers are dropping the ball all over the place. Carr was hurt. He had a very visible limp. I mean, Lynch actually looked relatively productive. The Pats are a really good team. Their schedule, if you have them as their defense, Dolphins, Bills, Dolphins again. Yeah, I just roll with them. You have one possibly rough week against the Steelers, and then the Bills again. So they're kind of the perfect defense to roll with right now.
Look for Hogan to come back. We hear anything about him? He kind of just fell off the radar being injured. You guys heard any updates on his health?
I feel like we'll hear some this week.
Okay, so keep an eye on that. Otherwise, Amendola, I think, is a pretty good safe start in PPR leagues especially. Like you alluded to, Max, Cooper and Crabtree just didn't get a lot done. Only the one touchdown for Cooper, but only three catches for 28. Crabtree had a decent day for PPR, but in standard didn't score, so that hurts. That defense stinks, though. Oakland stinks. So I think you feel good about the skilled players in their upcoming matchups for the rest of the season against the Raiders. Any Raiders guys that like are popping off the page at you? Is Carr a guy you want to add, maybe?
No.
No, not at all.
Nope. I don't want to have him anymore. I'm looking at the waiver wire, and I'm thinking about maybe picking up Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I'd start Roethlisberger over him. Carr was my ride or die this year. I talked him up a lot. I'm starting Case Keenum over him.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. It's not a knock on Derek Carr. It's a knock on that offense. Their receivers are too good to be dropping the ball this much. Their running backs, besides Marshawn Lynch, are there to catch the ball, and they're dropping it far too much.
Let's go to the Cowboys and Eagles. The Eagles 37, Cowboys 9. It looked like to start off one of those weird like divisional rivalry games where they know each other too well. You're not going to see a lot of scoring, but then Philadelphia just exploded in the second half. Wentz showing what it is. 168, but two touchdowns. Very efficient. Well, pretty efficient, I'd say. Alshon scored. Torrey Smith scored. Zach Ertz didn't score. I'm a little concerned he's still injured. They said it on the broadcast. He's still nursing a hamstring injury. So I'm a little concerned, Professor Chris. He's your guy. Should I back him up or just keep rolling him out there?
I think he's a guy you just need to keep rolling out there.
No
sure.
Concern? Okay. All right. Max, I want clarity on the running game. Ajayi, 7 carries. Blunt, 13 carries. Clement, 6 carries. Seemed to be active in the goal line situation. Got the touchdown. Ajayi had a 70-yard run, though. So take away that 70, he's only got 21 on 7.
All right. Well, the issue I'm seeing is they have Clement and Ajayi battling for next year's starting job, and they have LeGarrette Blount, who's just kind of putting in work. Blount's still a very serviceable running back, and he's good, and that's exactly what they're using him for. They dominated this week, so they just kind of spread the ball around. I feel like if they're down and out, you're going to see a lot more Ajayi and Clement. Clement's been really effective in goal line work, like really effective. So, I mean,
he's slippery. He's hard to tackle.
Yeah, it's like, I was expecting Blount to get that work because Blount too. Is Blount. You need 2 yards, he's going to get you those 2 yards. But Corey can kind of just deke and duck his way through and pop out the other side. That being said, on games that are more competitive, probably Bears or Rams games, I could see Ajayi getting a lot more work.
All right.
So I said Bears-Rams. I meant Seahawks-Rams. Sorry.
No problem. So, Corey Clement, if he's on the waiver wire, I think you got to add him. I don't feel huge about starting him unless one of those other guys isn't playing, in which case, am I about right in that analysis?
I'm not going to add him.
Not going to add him?
I don't know. Deep league, yes. Deep league, if you need someone, yeah, he's probably a better start than LeGarrette Blount. That's about it.
All right, that Eagles defense looks good. I think you keep rolling with them. If you got them through the playoffs, they got some tasty matchups coming up with some yucky teams, especially week 15 and 16. Chris, you mentioned Dak Prescott got negative points for a guy in a league, 3 interceptions and a lost fumble. Without that offensive line, without Tyron Smith there to protect him, without Elliott in to take the pressure off, I'm concerned about Prescott as my starting quarterback come in fantasy playoffs.
I'm still going to keep rolling with him. I don't know. This one's hard because the Eagles are, once again, their defense showed up, and Tyron Smith being out really hurt, but he's going to be coming back soon, isn't he?
I hope so. I hope he comes back.
I think he was only supposed to miss this week, and we know Alfred Morris is not Ezekiel Elliott, but the Cowboys are better than this. Dak Prescott is better than this. I think we see it turn around.
And Alfred Morris still had a decent game.
Right.
They'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Yep. Chargers, Redskins, Giants, Raiders, Seahawks in week 16. But those are some good matchups coming up.
Well, you should have Elliott should be back by then, correct?
Isn't he'll be back against the Seahawks, right.
Okay. All right.
And if the Cowboys are even close to sniffing the playoffs, they're going to ride him all game long.
Yeah, and then he'll be back for the last game of the season against the Eagles, too.
Yep.
So nice. We'll see how that shakes out.
I like Dez Bryant usage in this, especially for PPR. He turned into Cole Beasley game. Eight of 14 targets for Dez. 8 catches for 63 yards, while Beasley and Witten did nothing. So, I don't know. It was a weird Dez game. In terms of the running back situation, we saw Darren McFadden was a healthy scratch. We told you last week he's probably the one that's safe to drop at this point. Alfred Morris got 17 carries. Rod Smith got 8, but no involvement in the passing game. So still holding on to both of them. Or are we getting to the point where it's like Alfred Morris is the only guy you want?
Yeah, Morris is the only guy I want.
Okay. Yep.
All right.
Rod Smith is worth holding. If you have Morris, he's worth holding on to just in case Morris gets hurt. But that would be the only scenario.
All right, and we only have 4 more games of no Zeke, so keep that in mind as it moves on. And if you see Morris getting a majority of the work, it's probably safe to drop Rod Smith for somebody you might use in the playoffs, or you know, a quarterback or a defense, or somebody you can take away from the opposition. That is it for the game recap. We've got a couple teams that were on bye, and teams that play on Monday night: the Seahawks, the Jets, Colts, 49ers, Falcons, and Panthers. Any players or defenses or sleepers or waiver wire guys on any of these 6 teams that you guys want to talk about here?
Maybe Marlon Mack is still out there.
I still like Marlon Mack.
All right.
29% owned.
Yeah, 29. Yeah, go grab Mack. Thomas Rawls, maybe.
No,
but even then, it's real hard to want any of those guys, but well, they have to have a number one.
Yeah, Eddie Lacy. I'm pretty sure he's back this week. I'll double check.
Yeah, I think he was supposed to be as well.
Yeah, he's off injury report, so he's returning. And Rawls will still get work, but I think the Seahawks want Lacy because they're missing that Marshawn Lynch-esque style running back.
And I would say Mohamed Sanu as well, if he's not already owned in your league. Mohamed Sanu is 66% owned, by the way, so might be able to still grab him. Russell Shepard,
you looking at him at all? Is he owned, ownable?
He's someone I'm paying attention to, but not someone who I'm Greg picking Olson. Up yet.
With Greg Olson, like, on the fast track to being back this week, I'm not really looking at him.
Okay. What about the other tight end in Carolina? Lost all his value when Greg Olson comes back? Dixon?
100% yes.
Okay. Yep. All right, I think that's it. I think we covered everything. Thank you for all of you for tuning in and listening, and happy Thanksgiving to you. And also head over to the sleepwire.com websites for our rankings, podcasts, submit questions through the site. We answer by email. And if we've helped you out at all this year, if you've enjoyed the show, if you've had any players we've suggested that have won you weeks, please help us support our friend Rob. He's fighting chronic Lyme disease. And go to our website, sleepwire.com, click on the link, Our Cause, and make a little donation. It really helps out. We're trying to beat this disease, and so anything you can do will help, because that's why we're here. We do the show for Rob, to raise money and help him beat the disease. Also, the 12 champions of Sleepwire are online all the time and happy to help you. Join the Sleepwire channel on the Sleeperbot app and find us on the Fantasy Life app. You can find Professor Chris at Professor Chris on both apps. You can find Max at MaxSW. You can find Sleepwire General just at Sleepwire on both, and I'm at S. I'm an ass.
He is an ass.
Please leave that in the show.
I'm at SW Steve. I've never said something so true. You can also find us on Twitter at Sleepwire Show. And Professor Chris, you still got that Instagram account rolling?
Professor Chris SW, Mr. Ass Steve.
There you go. All right, guys, thank you for being on the show. Have a great Thanksgiving, both of you. Eat lots of turkey, drink lots of beer, watch lots of football. And we'll be back on the air Wednesday for the live mail sack. We'll be taking your calls and questions. Get you ready for the games on Thanksgiving and throughout the weekend. Show starts at 7:30 Eastern time. You can listen to us on the sleepwire.com page. Just look for the Mixler player at the bottom. Professor Chris, Max, thanks.
Peace.
Good luck.
Happy Thanksgiving. Peace.
You too.
The champions from the Sleeper Wire Fantasy Football Show will help you win your fantasy football championship. Sleeper Wire, Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Sleeper Wire on Dash Talk.